Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Truer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Oh, we got the Christmas edition
you,
here.
How did you go, Phil?
Oh, beautiful.
Have you got any bonbons? Have you got any jokes?
Yes. How does a monkey make toast, Rick?
I don't know.
Puts it under a gorilla.
Now, what about this? What does a frog do if his car breaks down?
No idea, Rick.
He gets it towed away. Have you got another one?
Yeah. What do you call an elephant that flies?
I have no
Jumbo jet.
Oh, Phil, you're
one more from you.
One more, one. What do you call a penguin in the desert?
Don't know, Rick.
Lost.
Oh, good point. He would be, wouldn't he? This is our Christmas edition.
It is
today,
indeed.
Rick.
And I want to wish particularly our producer a Merry Christmas.
And what a beautiful breakfast.
Oh, it's really
cooked for us this morning.
It was. And it's really lovely that she could be here to share this great occasion with us.
On our Christmas edition.
Well,
Rick, let's get into it. We've got a
bit local of bowls.
Local bowls. Bit of local bowls for our local listeners.
Correct. Rick. Surely you're not going to tell me the same thing again, eh?
What is it?
You didn't win again on Wednesday.
We did. That was going to be the next bit of it.
Oh.
We did. Out of five. We're now
Have you actually progressed up the table, though?
Yes, we're ninth now, second to bottom, but equal sixth.
Oh, that's good.
So there you go. I do have to mention our selected Pete Matthews.
Yes.
They call me Sellies because all I do is fill gaps.
Oh,
boom, boom. Now, I've said to Pete that I'm quite happy to play wherever he needs to play me, and I think he played in the same spot any week, so I think I'm like a chess piece. But anyway, to Pete, he listens on every week, so yes, so we're equal sixth. Rick is where I'm at.
And you've worked out the point system or the lack of?
Yeah, we're ninth. Yeah, still a second to bottom now. Saturday, not quite so good though, Rick.
No, I think the wheels
rolled again.
The wheels are falling off.
Well, they had at the moment. We've got Christmas break now, so just to regroup, refocus.
I heard a rumour that you've ordered from Father Christmas a new set of wheels for that Saturday team. Is that right?
Still third, Rick. So we haven't dropped the spot there.
It is incredible.
But we are with the pack.
Now, listen, good listeners, there is a challenge in itself to try and understand how they could still be third when they've lost four in a row.
No, three in a row. Five and four we are.
And
Wednesday's four and six. Unbelievable. What a turnaround.
It is.
I think Pete's really got us up and about. Gives us a motivational speech every week before we go.
I would suggest that, you know, he could be the equivalent of Sheedy in the bowls world.
Or Laurie Lawrence.
Or Laurie Lawrence.
Yeah, the great swimming coach.
Yeah.
I think he's going places, young Pete.
I think
he is. Into the local bowls now, which is the Brosnalot Bowling Association. At Lindock, lost to Nuriupda by 20, 83 to 103, which I did tip. Mount Pleasant lost to Freeling, 79 to 92, which is another tip, right? Angaston absolutely thumped and under, 134 to 58, and that is
I tell you what, I think Tanunda need you back.
Well, I never played there. I played at Newry.
I can understand why.
And Bruce Field told me they got 47 and almost got almost a 50 badge, and they got an 8 badge. So well done to Brucey. He's another listener.
Yep.
Kapunda, absolutely back from, you know, they had a couple losses there. 144 to you'd under 50. So they've given them a fair old thumping.
Oh, boy.
Fair old thumping.
It would seem, as a novice, you are teaching me a lot about this bowls game, but it seems to me there's a bit of a gap between the top and the bottom.
Yeah, there is. There's a big gap. So at the ladder, quickly, I'll run through just the top four or five. Angaston, Kapunda, Newry have come up to third. Tanunda sitting on fourth after a big thumping, and Lindock are fifth, so just out at this stage.
Right.
And quickly, just on finishing on the Brosnalot bowls, because we've got plenty of test match cricket to talk
about. We have.
Association game this Sunday at Clare. Brucey Field told me to mention that. Always a good fun day up there, and always good bowling with different players from different sides.
Oh, it's good.
I used to really enjoy the old association bowls when they selected me.
Yeah.
It's only ability that kept me out of that side. But that's the end of the Bros and Light bowls and my, obviously, my midweek pennants and Saturday pennants. Rick, the test match in Adelaide.
Test match in Adelaide. Look, as we record this, of course, it's only the end of day one.
Yes.
You know, it's great to see that the Poms have eventually recognised that they needed the two blokes who've taken 1,100 test wickets between
as
them.
As we heard on this show last week.
The thing they forgot is that to support them, you've got to catch catches.
Oh, you do.
You do. And, I mean, you know, there's an old saying which you would know, catches
win matches.
All over it, and that applies no matter what. Now, and particularly at test level where batters tend to not offer all that many chances. So you're only as good as the blokes trying to catch the ball. Now, cut the story short, we all know, you know, they gave away too many. Okay, just because Butler takes an amazing grab down the leg side, which probably, you know, would only occur, the ball stuck in his glove, one in 100 chance. And then he drops basically two gimmies.
Yeah, that I could have caught.
And we've actually recognised even the producer would have caught the second one.
But she told us she was a good sports person.
She was. But, I mean, how he could drop that one 10 minutes before stumps. Yeah. It was a beautiful ball.
Yep.
I mean, again, and cricket is a strange game in terms of minuscule misses or, unfortunately for batters, minuscule edges, touches. But both Warner and Labuschagne, with taking nothing away from it, they played and missed, just like in Brisbane, so many times. And you think that over the rub of the green, as it were, that would even out. But given after the first test and now day one, and it's certainly not, I'm not supporting the Poms, but nothing's gone right for them. Mm. You know, if a couple, assuming that Butler might have caught one or two, if one or two of those minuscule misses, they could have been out.
Change the game.
And, you know, when, and again, it's if, the biggest word in sport, but if Labuschagne had been caught and Travie had walked in.
The vice captain now.
Where
does that come from, Rick?
Tell me. Before the first test, half the scribes of the world were arguing over whether he should have been picked ahead of Usman.
Usman Khawaja.
Right. Okay, he's made 150 and most of them very good.
Mm.
Now he's vice captain. Hey?
How's old Marnus feeling?
Well, what a very...
How would he feel?
Well, you'd have to, you know, what sort of reward? You've got Marnus at the age he is, the best batsman in the side.
Yep.
And you've got the chance to sort of at least introduce him to a leadership role. And you go over the top of him. I mean, he picks himself in the side.
Oh, he's automatic.
That's right. Even though Travis will play this test series now because he made 100, he is not an automatic pencil-in player at this stage, whereas Labuschagne is. And what messages does that send to that kid?
Rick, I'm not the world's best cricket follower or whatever, but I watched Warner and Harris come in yesterday and they scratched around like two old chooks in a pen. And Labuschagne come in, it's just a different... I know he played and missed a couple of times, but, my God, he's just so fluent in his shots. And, you know, smacked him to the boundary, ran three here. And there's Warner up the other end scratching. Yeah. I know he ended up making 95, and he obviously went on with it, but I didn't see that bit. But,
Phil, you're absolutely right. The thing that I love about Labuschagne is that... if you get rid of some of his sort of mannerisms, which are a bit tiresome,
isn't he?
He is a bit different.
Yeah.
But the message to any young cricketer from from Labuschagne is he works so hard.
Mm.
You know, he'll make 150 and go home and go into the backyard nets that. Again.
Yeah, yeah. And have somebody throwing the ball in the back of the behind the grandstand and things like that.
He is in love with the game, and he is in love with improving his game all the time. You know, if he, you know, some people say he's a little bit over the top or a bit arrogant. If he was any of those things, he wouldn't be working so hard just to improve himself, and he does.
Did you see the interview with him after the game?
Yes.
I mean, that was quite interesting. He says those things to himself to keep himself motivated and G himself up and to give the bowlers a shit. You know, bowl them up around my ears.
It was interesting. Yeah. I heard a professor the other day talking about what it means for people who do talk to themselves. And the analysis from was that it's more than fine, and it doesn't mean there's anything.
Oh, that's good, because I get some bloody good answers from myself at times.
Well, I enjoy talking to myself because I'm always right.
At least somebody will answer me when I talk to myself.
Exactly. Anyway, we won't. I tell you what, I did notice too many no balls in this game so far.
It's all up and running in here.
Well, it is. Obviously, the umpires are back to their normal slap do nothing stuff.
See, Rifle didn't get a game. No, he's only third umpire.
But. I think they rotate the umpires, to be fair. The interesting thing is, and we will run out of time, but if we don't get on with it, my argument is there is no excuse for a no ball.
Mm.
You move back 2 centimetres.
Yep. Yep.
Now, the answer to it is that I believe they should... The original rule was a back foot rule, and I believe that... The back foot rule should be reintroduced.
And must be easier to call, Rick, because it's a lot closer to your nose, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The umpire's nose.
Absolutely. Now, while we're on that, though, let's just brief your pet. How do you like the RDS?
What was that yesterday? It took about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that, as you know, Rick, there should be the first few steps, 3 steps, isn't there?
Yeah.
Did he cross the line? Was it a no ball?
Yep.
Did it pitch in the line? They hadn't done any of those two.
No. Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. And what we're really saying is that to save time and drama and all the rubbish, and yesterday was a perfect example of it, is that what you just said, the order of events for a referral should simply be 1, refer to whether it's a no ball.
Yeah.
Now, they do that pretty well. They do that all the
Except
time.
Except yesterday.
But now they forgot that the game's all over if they went straight to where the ball pitched. And if the ball is pitched outside the leg stump, then it wouldn't matter if it knocked all three of them over. It's not out.
Mark Waugh was having kittens there yesterday.
And then, you know, before then you start going to snicko and whether it touched the edge and onto the pad and the glove and the helmet and everything else.
How far the ball was rising. And
you've got to look to see whether the pads are in line.
It's ridiculous.
So I don't know. I mean, these guys are technos rather than cricketos, but surely there's someone that'd be paying the world to have this technology. So maybe they should get it working in the correct order.
The first one, it wasn't a no ball because they showed it after, but the second one, it pitched that far outside of, I think it was leg stump.
It's just so, I just couldn't believe how long they went on and whether, you know, in the end, I think they handed down an indecision.
They did.
Yeah.
Now, which means that England can have another decision.
That's right. Now, the fact is.
So that's wrong.
Well, it's wrong. You're absolutely right. And it's wrong because. There was no indecision because the ball was pitched outside the leg stump.
So now then they thought they might have to go back and clarify whether that wasn't an indecision.
So they still haven't worked it out.
Was it an indecision? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Cricket can be a little bit slow enough without another 3 or 4 minute delay. But
and particularly when cricket people... with inverted commas cricket brain should know better and get the order in the right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know personally from my umpiring that, you know, a bowler, wicket keeper slips, they'll turn and scream at you the first thing I look at in my own way of umpiring is where the ball bounced.
Yeah.
If it's outside the leg stump, I don't care, as I said, if it knocks all three over.
Yeah.
You can immediately say, not out.
Yeah.
End of story. Yep. Anyway, bad catches. That's it. Yeah. You know, you can't offer test players third and fourth innings, and that's what the Poms have been doing.
And no spinner, Rick. Well, they haven't got a spinner.
Well, Leach is not a spinner. Yeah. You would be a better spinner. Even you'd move the ball more on the bowls green than he does.
Especially with Chris Harms's ball. They're using Harms's balls, aren't they?
Oh, yes, I think they are.
Pink balls?
Yeah, pink balls, yeah. But they... So the problem they've also got is because they go... Their over rate is shockingly slow.
Yeah.
They lost their entire match fee in Brisbane.
Oh,
and,
did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. And of course, poor old Joe. Joe's arguably a better spinner than Leach anyway.
Yeah.
But he's got a bowl just to get the overs through so they don't get pinged again.
Yep.
So anyway, we haven't got a lot of time.
No, we're running out.
So you hog the show. It's the bowl show now.
Isn't I know. It? Well, the boys are listening in. So
anyway, just briefly at the halfway mark of the Brosnan Light cricket.
Yes.
Right. Very quickly, Angaston, not a surprise.
No, top.
Are on top on percentage only, but the one who's on equal points, they've got 45 points.
Yep.
And so has first time round Lindock.
Wow. So Birdie's starting to get in the runs too, isn't he?
That's right. And they've performed very well.
Yep.
You know, you have to argue because there's a one round series who they've played and who they haven't. We're not going to have time to analyse that.
Yep.
Tanunda are up there now on 40.
Yeah,
and to make up the four at this moment is South Gawler on 35.
Oh, that's a surprise.
It is a bit. I think they will not be there at the end of the
season.
What
about your team, Malalar, quickly?
Oh, Malalar are second bottom.
What?
On 20. I mean, that is...
The Birchmore boys must have gone for an early Christmas or something.
Well, they've missed a couple of games and the Montgomery's missed. But they're up and down, as we've discussed on the show before. They're on 20. Now, you can argue that that's only 15. That's a game and a half.
Yeah, it's not far. A bit like us with our bowls.
Yes.
We're not far off.
That's right. The side who are fifth, who are a Monty, I reckon, to make the
Sandy form. Creek?
Sandy Creek.
Last year's premiers, wasn't it? I'm all over it, Rick.
You are all over it. Anyway, so there you go.
Now,
Angaston, Lindock, Tanunda, South Gawler, Sandy Creek, and Greenock make up the top
Greenock
six.
Are in the mark there.
So there you
not
go.
Far off. Now, we'll have one quick proper joke, not a bomb joke.
It is. Before we say farewell and have a wonderful Christmas, a young golfer decided he'd had just enough time to sneak in nine holes before going home. He was about to tee off and an old elderly golfer asked him if he could join him. Not wishing to be rude, the young man agreed and off they went. To his surprise, the senior moved quite well. He didn't hit the ball that far, but he walked fast between his shots. On the last hole, the young bloke pulled his drive and it went into the rough behind a 7-metre tree. He suggested he punch it out, but the senior said, "When I was your age, I could hit it over the top of that tree." Accepting the challenge, the young man took out a 7-iron, took a hefty swing, and hit the top of the tree. As they walked away, the old man said, "Of course, son, when I was your age, the tree was only 2 metres tall."
That's very good. Very good, Rick.
So there we go. Wishing everybody a
absolutely
very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and a safe one as well, we might say.
Absolutely.
So until next time, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.